have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And I want to ask, as always, that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, whether you live in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, or you're living in Jersey or northern Delaware. Go to that telephone and invite all your family and friends to come in and join us for a great discussion. We're going to have a special guest today. And if you're on the internet listening, and send an email to a friend and just let them know that they're invited to tune in, they can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have Larkin Connolly here with us in the studio. We have Rich Logis also, and we're going to have a special guest today. And Mark Andel is also on with us, and you know him as the founder of the Made in America store. Well, gentlemen, I want to tell you, this morning I got an email, and it was saying that China is now going to beat America as the largest superpower in the world. And that's financial power, not superpower. They called it superpower. I'm saying financial power because they kept their eye on the ball and made sure that the people in their country moved up the ladder. And that is something that I'm concerned about happening in America. All of us for the last 6 years, we've been watching the impact of the Great Recession, and we saw some very difficult times. Now all of the American people are really concerned, and they want to make some very positive changes come about. And I think we're going to have to continue what we're doing, because I think we made a bigger impression on what is happening in the world economy as far as Americans are going than we realize. Many people have told me, in fact, this past weekend I was out, and people told me that they enjoy the broadcast, they appreciate the feelings of the guests, they like that we have been focused and consistent about all of our efforts to support American workers. In fact, one gentleman made a comment to me. He said, as you're promoting American workers, it's also appreciated that you're promoting American businesses, because the businesses are making the clock tick and employing people and allowing people to even be self-employed. And this, by the way, is National Small Business Weekend coming up this Friday, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. So kindly go out of your way to support your local businesses. And when you go there, make sure you let them know that you're there because you're supporting National Small Business Weekend. And as you go to the front page of our internet site, you will see right under and next to Mark Andel's picture, a link that goes to National Small Business Weekend. Click on that and let your local stores know about it. They can print out a brochure. They could also print out a flyer, explain to the people what it's all about, and let's get this thing moving in a real fast direction. First of all, let me start off with Larkin. What is the latest with you?
Well, let's see. I think the latest thing that I probably have for the audience is a 3-program seminar set that's being held at the CCP West campus on Chestnut Street, 4725 Chestnut. The SBA SCORE, CCP, and the Lancaster Avenue 21st Century Business Association is throwing a little party over there. We're going to talk about access to capital, which to me is the true missing link right now in
very much so
small business startups.
That's exactly Larkin, CCP, Community College of Pennsylvania.
Community College of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Right. And our Pennsylvania networks with the SCORE and all will be there, and I'm encouraging you to go there. When is that date, Larkin?
That is the 14th. We'll be talking about the access to capital. We'll have another session on doing business with the federal government. And, the last one will be certifications, minority business and underprivileged business certifications. 23% of the billions and billions of dollars of the government spends every year are set aside for these minority businesses and underprivileged businesses. And it's incumbent upon them to register as an 8A or a hub zone business and go out and go after this money. I've oftentimes told the story of a woman in East Falls who started a small company, became a women's owned minority business, got certified and went out, and her first contract was for $1.7 million. And she supplied furniture for four grade schools in Alabama. It's a great, great way to grow your business. It's there. It's kind of free. You have to be a little patient to go out there and accomplish what is necessary to get the certification. But these meetings that we'll have on the 14th at CCP, Community College of Philadelphia, West End Regional Campus, will be a great, great starting point.
Well, you know, Larkin, that's very good. I'm glad that you mentioned that, and I hope you'll promote it for the next few weeks, because very often people tell me they've been unemployed for 6 months or a year, and they're listening, and they're wondering how they could get into some kind of a business of their own, because they see that things have changed. I've noticed myself that a lot of the things that we're going to see happening in the future are smaller businesses dealing with other smaller businesses. The big businesses, as we know of the past, are going to be a little more difficult to restore. But the 50 and 100 employee businesses are going to be something that we may have a lot more of in the future.
We talk at SCORE an awful lot about monetizing things that you've accomplished in life. And I can tell a story on one of my relatives, my daughter-in-law. Man, can she make a cookie. And it doesn't tell on the picture on the web page because it's only shot from the neck up. But Uncle Larkin is a big boy. And a lot
not a that lot, big.
A lot of that came from Katie's cookies and pies and cakes. And she decided to take a shot at it and made a wedding cake the other day, transported it to the site, and discovered that for, you know, one cake, reasonably, one can charge $275 to $375. So guess what? I've got a little entrepreneur in my family now, and she's going to get out there and start trying to sell some cakes.
Wonderful. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'd love to see that happen. Mark, how are you doing on this rainy day in Philadelphia? Is it raining up where you are?
Yes, it's rainy and cold again. Hi, Mike, Rich, and Larkin, and the listeners. No, things have been real busy, extremely busy. We had a big weekend this past weekend. I had Ricky Lee in town, and we had three events Saturday. We called it the Hat Trick Day. We kicked the motorcycle, the first motorcycle launch of Western New York out of our Made in America parking lot in Alma, which benefited the food bank of Western New York, which was decent. The weather wasn't totally on our side, but we ended up with 50 bikes. And then we ran over with some more music at our McKinley Mall and did our grand opening ribbon cutting, which was our fourth store that we kind of tested back in November, but we officially opened. And then we ended up at a VFW post and did a little concert event for our soldiers, and that was just awesome. So, you know, very busy weekend, and on the general welding side, we've got more work right now than we can handle, and again, I'm fighting a fight to find workers, and, you know, I've managed to find 10. We keep trying and flipping over every rock, and it really comes back down to self-training. And even a lot of the schools, I think they're the few that are out there are over busy because the students they're producing aren't that good. So we went to in-house training, and unfortunately, again, the customers don't have the patience that it takes to find these skilled workers. But, you know, we've been finding, we are in-house training. We're trying to find up with answers, identifying problems, and get solutions. The good part is I do have work. So very busy here, and we're getting ready for that Vegas National Hardware Retail Show, which is coming together great. I can't wait to talk to you guys from the show next Wednesday, Mike.
That's Wednesday, next Wednesday. Very good. I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, that report. I enjoyed the last few shows you guys were out and called in on. It's very important that people know what's going on. As I said before, I think the small businesses are really the way it's going to be help us in the future. I see it happening everywhere I go. Somebody says to me, I'm taking your advice. I am going to the bank. I am talking to them. But as I mentioned to Larkin in the past, I'd like to bring somebody in from the banking system and also from small businesses. And let's do a few hours. We can do a few hours all through, you know, start at 11, and I'll make arrangements with the station to do something where we can really double the audience on this particular particular issue.
And small business startups right now are really facing some major issues. The banks are still a little dicey about making loans that aren't fully collateralized, or where the individual can't collateralize or at least make a significant down payment on his or her new business. And they just generally shy away from new businesses. A brand new business, a startup, kind of scares them. And this is not a political statement. I don't mean it that way. I mean it as a small business assistance kind of guy, that we need to take some of the entitlements money and redirect it to people who start giving hand-ups instead of handouts.
Absolutely. All this has got to be ironed out in the future because, as I say often, I don't have people come to me looking for handouts. They want to be secure and move forward with their life and have a steady income, take care of their families, and do some important things. One thing that I learned through our process here on American Workers Radio and promoting the Buy American Made campaign for over 10 years is that people have seen the light. Before, they were just walking into stores and buying whatever they wanted to grab onto. Today, they're being a little more selective. And in fact, some of the stores that I go into have made it very well known to me that people are selective. They see people look at the item and then put it down and then walk out the door or ask them for something American made. Do you have, what extent of the products do you have? I went out to buy my daughter a birthday card last week, and believe it or not, when I went into the store, I'm well known for asking too many questions. I went into the store and immediately the two girls behind the counter said, uh-oh, what is it going to be today? So I was only going in for a card. But I will tell you this, there's still too damn many cards made in other countries on those shelves for my liking.
Yes. You know, one thing I'd like to say, I did an interview yesterday for the National Hardware Retail Show when we go out to Vegas, and a lady wanted to know, it's the big magazine for the show. And remember, this is the largest show for any buyer to go to in the world. All your top Walmarts, everybody goes here. She said, do you think the movement's still rolling and going good? And I gave her, you know, the idea of our store growth and how people love what we're doing, and they want Made in America. You just got to make it convenient for them. But I said at the show, she said, is there anything at the show? I said, well, having 300 booths that are only USA made products in two locations at the show, and having a USA day this year, out of the 3 days, they're going to have a USA day, which I'm going to be a speaker, of course. But it's awesome just to see that's part of the movement. That's a culture change. Bob Chesbro, owner of Wigwam Socks, always told me I felt like an outlaw when I do American shows in our country. But I think that's part of the movement. They're recognizing, hey, you know, to sell Made in America products, buyers want them. I said the best thing about it is people. People, no matter what anybody says, drive, you know, they drive everything. That consumer is demanding these products. And that's shown at the largest show in our country for buyers, which is awesome to have a USA Made in America day.
Mark, you just said the golden line, which I have spoken to many of the managers at the store. He said, well, sir, if we had those products on our list, we would go out of our way to get them. What we did through our Buy American Made campaign and American Workers Radio is make it fashionable to demand American made and make it that managers and store owners have to go out of their way to start looking for products made in the USA. Quite frankly, when I heard that news this morning, one of my friends from another radio program called me and he said to me, check this out. You'll find about 10 different sites reporting on this issue. I said, do you know, they said that it wasn't going to happen for 2 years or so, that we would, you know, be left in the dust. I said, but if it wasn't for American-made movements all over the country, we would have already been overpowered a long time ago. My questions to the elected official start off with this. When I asked them in Harrisburg just the other day, I said, can you tell me which senator, which House of Representatives member is the champion for jobs in Pennsylvania? Silence. Well, it's under committees, labor and industry and this and that. I said, but which is the most important person doing it? We have an election coming up, Larkin.
Yeah, but
have you heard one person mention that I am the statewide champion?
No. What I have heard is an awful lot of criticism of the incumbent. I've heard every single candidate in the only place where there's a race, and that's on the Democratic side, talk about increasing the taxes on Marcellus Shale. And ramping those up so that they can straighten out the school problem. And I don't ever get an answer to, okay, so you're going to use those taxes to straighten out the school problem. What are you going to do? Throw more money at the current school system, or are you going to fix the school system as it is today and then fund the repairs? And I get a very blank look, like, you don't care about our children. All you care about is, you know, I care about our children. I care about fixing the problem.
The problem, right.
And then throwing money at
but
it
Larkin,
is not a
the
fix.
The biggest problem I have is, what is really the criteria of any school child in any given year? We've been talking about for that for some time. The school boards are meeting, and people are bringing up to the people, we want more trades, we want the industrial arts restored, and they just keep saying we don't have the money. Well, what are we doing with the money that we have? Isn't there something we could take out of the dollars that we have and put in those trades and industrial arts so people like Mark can go out and say, we have a stable of people that are available for this particular industry and that particular industry. And when I say industries, I mean that we're talking about from soup to nuts. It takes a person to do the interviewing. It takes a person to do the training. It takes a person to do the bookkeeping for the payroll. There's 1,001 jobs created out of industries in any given city. And yet we're pushing, you know, being great at computers and this and that, and that's not the way it should be.
Well, Michael, the article you mentioned, I'm going to use a couple of sports maxims to talk about this topic of whether China will pass the U.S. So as a former athlete, if you want to call it that, or call myself what I was, I used to have something I used to tell my basketball teammates, which is this. The best defense is a good offense. And whether China is going to pass us, undoubtedly they're the most formidable competitor in the world and will probably remain that way indefinitely for the foreseeable future. The question is for us, are we playing not to lose or are we playing to win? I have no doubt that China, other nations, other emerging countries that 20, 30 years ago weren't in a position to compete but now are because of building infrastructure, the labor force has gotten older, more work. I have no doubt that those nations are playing to win. So are we playing to win or are we playing not to lose? And I do think there is a difference, a big difference.
I agree. The thing that my whole focus was on lately is there an appointed national chairman to promote private sector jobs in America? That's what I want to know, and no one can answer it.
Well, there isn't one.
I asked, but why not?
Well, I can't answer that. But
the caucus is concerned about everything imaginable. They're mainly concerned about who should be taxed and for what. We're taxing water. We're taxing, now it's going to be air. It's going to be everything. You name it. And I gave somebody a suggestion about what else could be taxed, but they didn't want to, I can't say it on the air. But the, you know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is,
talk about surpluses.
Well, this is the sad part of it. And what changes in the Congress would our guests like to see? We have to put that on the possible list of questions for the future. I'd like to see what he, as a congressman, would like to see changed in Washington right now. I know that he's decided not to run again, and I will be looking forward to him coming in. There is something else that people have been bringing to my attention, nothing to do with our guests, but I was out at an event over the weekend, and one of the men brought up to me again. He said to me, Michael, do you feel it's proper for public sector employees to be unionized? Do you think so, Larkin?
Well, I think any worker has the right to unionize. Unfortunately, unions can be good things, but unfortunately, they end up not being so good and so hot, and they go too far. It's just like anything else. If you have a small business, you want to make it grow. If you have a union, you want to make it grow. You want to get more involved. You want to do more things. And
well, the point, what this gentleman brought to my attention is he said, it's the funds coming from the taxpayers that are funding the school district and the city services and the state services. Why do these people need to be unionized? Do you know, Mark?
No, you know, I don't. I wanted to go back to what Rich said with, you know, we're not playing to win, we're playing not to lose. And I think, Rich, that's really well said. Because as we know, our government got lazy, greedy, and selfish. And I think, I mean, even here in my business, you have to have that competitive edge. You have to not be confused. You have to believe. And I think a lot of it, people are confused which way to go. We're the government. And that government's our leader. So I think, you know, playing to win, I mean, on that, when you hear that with China, that's a big, you know, that article, Mike, you sent, hits me pretty hard, you know. That's real stuff happening today.
Now, that was supposed to not happen until 2018. But
yeah,
as I was listening,
we're getting a lot closer.
They're really taking over. And the reason for it is that everyone in China is focused and consistent. The Germans.
And that's what I'm getting at. And they're playing to win.
They're planning to win. And that's fine that we're directing all of our time and attention elsewhere while they are focused and consistent. I see it and I hear it all the time when the visitors come from China to the historic district. I ask them, would they like to come and live in America? The answer is, we are growing so much in China, there's a bigger future for us there. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom dollar. And we are customers to them, so they want to come over and see what we're all about. But, excuse me, not too many of them would want to come here and join our ranks. What were you saying? You were ready to say something there, Rich, and I'm sorry I cut you.
No, after the break, Michael, I was going to comment a little bit further on what me and Mark are saying here. Even if China were to surpass us, and I'd like, you know, Larkin, I'd like to get your opinion on this. I'm still not sure that that's going to happen. But having said that, it still doesn't mean that as the champ, that we still shouldn't be training for the prize fight.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right, and all that publicity today, all those articles, were to further discourage us from trying to do better, to show that we're already on a failure process, which is something we can't allow to happen. Gentlemen, let me take a few moments just to say thank you to some of our sponsors. The next portion of our broadcast on this Wednesday before National Small Business Weekend is being presented by Polka Deli, and they're at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And you can give them a call at 215-634-3750. And if you're planning to do some travel, well, Polish American Travel Service is at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia's Port Richmond section. I encourage you to contact them at 215-634-3396. And whenever you're out shopping for the best pierogies, also mozzarella sticks, and also great mushrooms, look for the name Giorgio. They're a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for Giorgio everywhere that you shop. And Washington Savings Bank and their president is offering you an opportunity to come by and save a lot of money. They have great mortgages, savings accounts, checking accounts, and Mr. Badnarek would like you to come in and certainly do your very best to participate with Washington Savings Kazimierz Wielki Bank. You can give them a call at 215-698-9400. And Yolanda Konopacka DeCipio, attorney at law, has clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey for all of your legal needs. Give her a call at 215-423-4824. And by the way, State Farm Insurance handles auto, home, and life insurance. You can call Karen Janot at State Farm at 215-862-5490. and the Polish National Alliance, a national life insurance organization with representatives across the USA. And I'd like to just add here, this organization was founded in Philadelphia. For more information, you can give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. Right now, they have representatives throughout the United States of America. And Mr. Leon Mankowski has his office at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section. For more information or an appointment, give him a call at 215-739-8521. I'll be back with some additional sponsors in a little bit, but I'd like to say that this is National Small Business Weekend, and everyone who's listening and gets the Northeast Times or the Star newspapers and a few others, make sure you see our banner ads in the newspapers. We are really moving forward to make sure that people know about National Small Business Weekend. And I'm asking all of you listening to go to the site, nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com, and email it to some family members and friends, and of course, to businessmen as well. Let them know that we have to stick together, and we're doing a great job at it. As I said earlier, because of our efforts, a lot more Americans are on the bandwagon. We have to be the messengers, the positive messengers of change here in the USA. When that happens, we're really hitting a home run. Well, let's get back. And Rich, what were you going to say? Sorry I cut you off.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not a problem, Michael. We got to get our, always give shout outs to our sponsors. I've said before on the show that we can perhaps select a number of different reasons why some of the things that have happened in the last few decades with our labor force, outsourcing, et cetera, have occurred. What I've said, though, is I think what we lack most is foresight. I don't think that we saw it coming. Now, if we did and we did nothing about it or we didn't know, it's still the same net result. So in a way of looking forward, there is absolutely zero excuse now, in my opinion, zero excuse to say we didn't see something coming. The world is more competitive than it's ever been. The world's getting smaller in large part because of technology. So are we going to just sort of slowly and in stagnation just kind of drift along? Or are we gonna look to compete perhaps better than ever before? And that's a question that is something that we have to ask not only the government but ourselves. And I just think, guys, that when people want to always plead the government, I'm not sure that approach any longer is the best. We have to plead other people. Mark, when you're talking to other customers and you talk to them about consumer choice and how we have the choice to you're talking to people directly. You know, you're talking directly to those who have to open up their wallets to buy goods. And I'm not saying the government doesn't ever listen, but they're listening more so to many, many others who are able to contribute the unlimited amounts of funds to help them get into office, more so than the small business owner or the senior on a fixed budget or the recent college grad who's now out of college, got $20 million in debt, and he's either trying to start a business, trying to find work. Government really isn't listening to those people. So we have to plead the people. I just don't believe any longer the approach of solely pleading the government can work for us.
You know, just as Larkin said earlier, Rich, the only thing we're talking about are hearing about on the advertisements for the governor is how we're going to tax people. Not one person is giving a plan as to how they're going to help industries by lowering taxes to bring more people into the job market.
And I think one of the things, Rich, that we have a tendency to overshadow and not even think about, excuse me, is what we pay our workers in America and what they pay the workers in Taiwan and Indonesia and India and Vietnam and the Philippines. I happen to look up just out of curiosity over this minimum wage discussion that we're having to see exactly where the country is right now. And they've raised the poverty guidelines in this country to $23,850. I apologize. $29,820 for a family of four. And if you divide that by 52 weeks and then divide it by 40-hour work week, you're going to come somewhere in the range of $14 an hour. So essentially what the government is telling us in their infinite wisdom is that at $14.50 an hour, if you have a family of four at home, you're at poverty level. $14.50 an hour in Indonesia represents a month's worth of work.
Right.
So we're not playing on an even field. We really aren't. And, Mark, I've never heard you talk about the inequities in the in payroll right now, but that's what America has to face right now. I just now met a kid at the Free Library of Philadelphia where they have a job fair going on. I stopped by to shake some hands and make sure that all of our people showed up. This kid walked up to me and said, my sister works here at the library in the business and industry department. You know her. She said I should talk to you about a job. And I said, great. What's the deal? And he just graduated from Bucknell. He's been looking for a job now for about 7-8 months. And I said, what's your major? Economics and business. And I said, well, that's great. Have you thought about the banking industry? And he said, well, I've talked to a couple banks, but they want me to start as a teller. And I went, and? And he goes, a teller? I don't want to be a teller. They pay tellers like that start at $14 an hour. I don't want to be a teller. So we also have that issue of a lot of kids graduating from college, living that dream that they're going to instantly be put on some fast track program that's going to pay them $75,000 or $80,000 a year, and this idea of starting as a mail clerk and working your way through the system just dog doesn't hunt anymore in our economy.
You know, Larkin, yesterday I had a bus come to the store, and it was from Ithaca, New York, about 4 hours east of Buffalo here, and it came, and I ran over. It was a windstorm here, and, you know, the plastic chairs were flying through the parking lot while I walked these people to the store. I met a Marine, and we hit it off, and he told me a story, and he went in 62, 64. Good shape still, but he said he left when he got out of school. And when he got out of the Marine Corps, he told his mom, the parents now had a bricklaying business. He told his mom, hey, I'd like to be a police officer. She said, well, that's great, John, but, you know, as long as you're still going to lay bricks, you can do whatever you want. You know, so
yeah,
it was a great story. And he was a bricklayer, he said, and I was a police officer. My parents were fine as long as I did both. I've never given up the family business, but he talked about the work ethic, and he worked all the time, and, you know, that's how he made ends meet. But what you're hitting on is where the student gets out of college, and they have the entitlement, and they won't do things. I'm seeing that in the last 2-3 weeks. It's unbelievable, the thought process and how we lost that drive, or how they have entitlement, and we've built that into them.
Well, see, as we were talking about some months ago, is when the people go to their counselors in school, they should already be starting at 6th, 7th, and 8th grade to, yes, get them on some road to success. At least let them know where they would be best at. So you have boys and girls coming out of high school and college with great degrees and have no idea what they're going to do. And like Larkin said, somebody's out of a job for 7 months. How do you support yourself for 7 months?
Well, they live at home. Well, and they're
how long can that last, though?
Well, I just read a very interesting article in The Economist that talked about 45-year-old couples married with two kids
moving in with
back
their parents.
Home with,
yes,
their parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
And which, to some really staunch right-wing conservatives, is probably pretty cool, because it kind of brings that family back together, and we're all living on the same block and taking care of each other. But at the same time, goodness gracious, when I was 21 years old, I walked into the house, and my father gave me a piece of birthday cake, and he said, now beat it. And he meant it. Get the heck out of this house and go find a job.
Well, he did the right thing, Larkin, because you became a great success. You were probably always a very well-motivated person.
Wait a second. Let me get my mother on the phone here before you finish that.
The problem is this. Not too many people are being motivated to be the best that they can be. That's a big problem we're facing, because in our time, people always ask you the question, what are you looking to do when you graduate? Today, nobody asked the question because they don't want you to ask them, how have you been doing since you graduated?
You know, guys, what the number one problem is, they don't have to. See, because we took that out, they're carrying them, they're giving them crutches, they're helping them, and they're saving them. You know, the point, I've got a, you know, relation just sitting back. He doesn't have to fill out the resume yet. He's finished the school because nobody's pushing him to. He's still got food, shelter, and clothing. You know, and that's the problem, the handouts. I do have a positive story I'd like to bring up with a young gentleman. He's 17 years old, started my internship program at General Welding from a local school, Iroquois Central here. And he just finished his 54-hour course, which he works, just trains and gets to know. He came to me and said, I want to be a welder, Mr. Handel. I said, really? Have you worked with tools? Have your dad, you've ever fixed anything with? Nope. I said, but you want to be a welder? I'm thinking, geez, in a week I'm going to show him a different road. But I took him aboard, and this little guy, he's probably, I always joke that he's 4 foot, he's probably 5 foot, but he's a real short, quiet, and he finished his 54-hour period, and he came up to me, Mr. Randall, could I get a part-time job? And here, I said, let's go see Mark and Dale, my plant supervisors, and I thought for sure they'd tell me, you know, no way, but they both loved him. They both liked this kid. I said, really? I said, how's he been doing? Good. So I watched him. So this past Saturday, I come in, and my top welder, who doesn't really like to help anybody because they're afraid of losing their job or just take the time with them. He's got this Doug Welding. And I'm like, yeah. I said, you got Doug Welding already? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to show him how to weld. He can weld better than half the other guys we got. I said, really? So I went over to Doug and said, you know, what I've heard from you in 54 you know, hours and seen already, you're going to be something in life. I said, you're a rare breed. You already got that can-do spirit. You didn't know anything, but you're taking advantage of it. But it's, you know, 1 out of 20. But I'm telling you, there's still hope.
Well, I have to say this story, to you, you know? Mark. I've been hearing, and I'm looking to bring one a guest, possibly after the school year ends. He is telling me that there has been such an upsurge in people wanting to get into the trades like he has never seen before. And I am very pleased to hear that. And in fact, there's a gentleman in Pennsylvania who runs a school, and his name is Dave Schneider. I'm going to try to get him on to see what he would advise. Maybe we can even get Walt Jakubowski back in here, and a few of us talk about what are we going to do to get those trades back. There's too many excuses why we can't bring them back. I want some people to come in with concrete plans to say this is how we're going to restart them.
And I'm also giving away a book, How to Write a Business Plan, to the first caller who calls in and correctly spells Wabalski.
We saw Walt. Said, we'll get Walt. Walt will get you next time he's in here.
I'm sure he will.
Rich, what else is happening?
Well, you know, the education aspect, guys, of this is, and was when we had Walt on last month, and I recall having said that when we're looking at our youth, you know, the youth in schools are going to naturally show us what they're good at, and what their skills are, and education on so many levels is just so corporatized to just get students in and out, in and out, in and out. And once they're out, you know, that's really, see, that to me is the key education question. What do we do after they're out? And I'm not sure that on average school-to-school basis and district-to-district basis, there's really a good answer for that question. And that means that a lot of college grads, right, Larkin, the one you're mentioning about becoming a teller, or Mark, the examples you see, even examples that I see, where are we maybe steering in the wrong direction when it comes to education and business and labor?
Well, you know, Rich,
we're all connected.
You know, Rich, I'd like to tell you a little story about what's happening here in Philadelphia area. Every year they come up and they say the school district needs another $150 million, $200 million, and the next year comes $300 million it needs. But no one ever answers the question, what exactly do they need that money for? That's the biggest question I ask, and I get no response.
And they've already cut all of the what would you call them, extraordinary services, the arts, athletics,
right?
All of those, the teachers, the nurses, school nurses, the counselors in school, they've all been cut. They've all been eliminated from the payroll. Some got hired back. But where is all this money going?
But see, when I ask for them to put a budget up on the on their internet site, they say, well, aspects of the budget are there. Aspects of the budget should be one page. This is what we're paying teachers. This is how many teachers we have. This is what we pay for salaries, for medical benefits toward pension. This is what we do for early training, for middle school, for high school. There's no one budget that we can take a look at and say, yes, we want to support that. Maybe there are some foundations out there that would say, hey, I agree with that particular program. I'm going to put some of our money toward that. We don't have any budget that we can direct the people to say, well, let's support it.
It's, you know, 22 in our state, through the New York Lottery, all the money goes into the school systems, but I can't believe, and it never offsets, that our budgets still go up. And they bring in millions and millions weekly. You know, on that, we were talking about wins, you know, win and rich, and we're talking about the kids and entitlement and different things. But we need a culture change. What I see, I've hired 14 people since March 1st, which is incredible. I haven't done that in years because I've got such a workload in this one area. But out of the people, what they lack is drive and hunger. Hunger to win. And I see it's like somehow it's out of them. They don't have that hunger because they've been maybe beaten down, or maybe just a waiter. They don't have the confidence in the government. They pay so many taxes. Why work? But something's missing. This is a big, big issue coming up.
You're absolutely right.
They don't have the drive I have, for one, or Rich or Larkin or you. We know that. I mean, we're a rare breed. But somehow it's not being produced. It scares me.
You know, I was at an event on Sunday morning, and I have to say that few people came up to me, and I was really cheered up because I didn't know the people there at all. And there was 1,000 people at this particular event. And two or three of the people came to tell me they listen in, and they said, I love listening in because I learn something new every week, that there are good things that are possible. We hear some ideas. It's not all accusations, but it's positive ideas. And with that, I'm going to ask Stephen to give us some words of wisdom.
All right, and Phil's Hairstyling is located at 4401 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia and is among one of the best in the area. Their experienced, friendly staff are there to serve you 6 days a week for all styles, for men, women, and children. Facial and waxing services are also available. Contact them today at 215-535-8997. Let them know you heard their ad on our program. And for this weekend, National Small Business Weekend, Phil's is offering 15% off of your next bill. It's 15%. Pat's Auto Tags has 3 convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. They are located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section, which has a direct link same-day service with the DMV. Their number is 215-427-1832. They have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue. At the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, their number is 215-533-2200. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Contact them today at 215-423-5266. Give them a call or stop in at any of their locations and let them know we sent you. And the Liberty Bell Diner is located at 8445 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Halil, Michael, and his great staff are avid supporters of our program and the National Small Business Weekend. Give them a call, 215-331-4344, for all-day delivery, or stop in for breakfast, lunch, or your dinner. And the Tri-State Media Network specializes in advertising all types of businesses, big and small. Contact one of their account managers today at 215-829-9200 for their advertising packages. And you can visit their website at www.tristatemedianetwork.com.
I would also like to add that Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has offices in Center City, Philadelphia, as well as 8510 Busselton Avenue in the Northeast. Give him a call at 215 215- 564-1866. And remember, if you want to have a European experience right here in Philadelphia, go to the Net Cost Market. They're at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's at Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue. And if you'd like to spruce up your car, well, Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, and the other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, give them a call at 215-535-6606. And the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America is a national life insurance organization. You can contact their main office at 1-800-772-8632. And also, if you want to have a great smile, remember, Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and Everest Dental is located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information or an appointment, give them a call at 215-671-0188. Well, I'd like to get back to a subject which I'm going to try to follow up on with a guest, and that is getting the trades and industrial arts back in all of our schools. As I mentioned earlier, I did hear that all of the schools that are offering the programs are now packed. They have waiting lists of people to get in, which is really good. And in many cases, some of the young people had gone to high school or college, should have had the opportunity to have hands-on training, but they weren't offered that opportunity. And when they got out of high school or college, then had to go into a trades or industrial arts program and sort of reinvent the wheel of their life, which I don't think is a very good idea. I think it's time for the school districts to put their budgets together, not only sit around and talk what they're going to do to help, you know, teachers and give more money for pensions and this and that, but let's get people to jobs of the future, jobs of today, where they'll be able to earn a living. And by the way, as I said earlier, what about these young people that get out of school and have to go 7, 8, 10 months without a job, a means to support themselves? I mean, It's just not up to par. I don't know what we're going to do about it. Rich, you were going to answer that question before
Yes, and I want to, and Larkin, I want to reiterate something you've said in the past. Entrepreneurs are going to be entrepreneurs in any economy. And the fact is this, there is nothing, and I say this confidently, there is not a single thing easy about being a business owner. Not one thing. But I'll tell you what, I still wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
The fact of the matter is that
with our jobs are not created out of thin air. You've said it before. They're not created out of thin air. What can be created, however, is a climate, an environment where businesses feel more confident that they're not growing for nothing, they're not spending in vain, that something can potentially come from it. There are no guarantees in business. And despite the fact that it's hard, despite the fact that there's nothing easy, but it's not easy to start one, really, and it's not certainly not easy to keep one profitable. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I'm not saying this to sound like, you know, the arrogant business guy, but RJL Technology Integration had its best revenue year ever in 2013. And businesses and entrepreneurs are going to figure out ways. But I'll tell you something, guys. A lot of small businesses, there are good people, capable people who are out there. Tough for businesses to bring them on board, though. It just costs a lot of money to just run even the smallest of businesses. And the costs of doing business just are consistently getting higher. And those costs have to always be passed on to the consumers.
And you know, you can tax a small business until a small business can't have it. I've always said, you can't lift the wage earner by pulling the wage payer down. It just doesn't work. It's not a very good formula. But the thing that amazes me is men and women will come in and sit down and say, I want to start this small business. We'll get into a conversation about who they are and where they're from. And inevitably, I find out that this isn't their first start. This is maybe their second, third. I've counseled people that have had four or five starts. They're entrepreneurs. You're not going to hold them down. You can tax them out of business, and guess what? You turn around, and they'll be right back in your face.
And those are the kind of people we really need to motivate in the future. We have got to help one another. The small business has to help other small businesses so that we can really get this economy moving again. Because what happens, Larkin, is the bigger companies, the expense of operating a bigger company is becoming prohibitive, especially with a big factory building or whatever. But smaller units, I see it here even in Northeast Philadelphia, where maybe an old factory was turned around and all of a sudden where it was one factory, there are 10 smaller operations in there, all doing their own thing. And that's really what I feel is going to be the future of the United States of America's big businesses and small businesses uniting.
Absolutely. You know, well said, guys. I mean, Rich Larkin with the guys. How much it costs to run a business, but how much it costs to make $1? And it's no secret, you gotta bring in more than you give out or else you're out of business. And that drive and hunger is what built America. The best thing about America is Americans. And that's what we're talking about. I mean, we have to keep that going. And you're right, we just keep coming back up. I always kid, if you get kicked in the groin, you just keep coming back up. An entrepreneur just keeps going, you know, no matter what you put on top of them.
And, you know, they laugh and they get right back up in your face. And I've taken guys in with business plans. This is their third startup, and they walk in like they own the world. And they'll sit down with that banker, and they'll climb right up in that banker's face. And that banker will say, well, I'm not sure you your credit here is like 695. I'm not, you know, we have a threshold of maybe 725 or 715 or whatever. And that entrepreneur looks at that person and smirks and says, well, what's wrong with my credit? There's nothing wrong with my credit. I can't explain to you. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. They have a reason for their credit being exactly where it is. And their shoulders aren't slumped down. They're not sitting low in their chair. They're not walking around the room kicking dirt. They are right in that banker's face saying, here's who I am, and here's why it would be a very, very smart move for you to lend me money.
Very well said.
Because you just go. I mean, I met a young guy I called. My friend said he started a business, landscaping, and he was talking 10 times faster than me. I'm like, holy cow, this guy, and he wants four dump trailers. And I loved it. I said, this guy's going to be something. I mean, but he was talking so fast, but that's the entrepreneur just going.
That's what I like to hear.
Blowing and going.
Now, we need to get more of this going. In fact, I don't understand why the banks are not putting advertisements on the radio and television, telling people where they can get together to have a seminar on loans and things like that, and get together with SCORE and all. It seems that everybody's in their own corner, and yet no one is uniting.
Well, you know, the SBA 2 weeks ago, it wasn't last week, it might have been the week before, had a Meet the Lender event in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. They had 44 banks and microlenders sitting around the room. And they opened up the doors, and in ran all the entrepreneurs and the startups and everything, and they went from desk to desk with their business plan. And it's kind of laughable. There are a handful of banks there that have a little sign on their table that says, we don't do restaurants. You know, trying to save themselves and anybody else from the agony of going, listen, you're a great-looking guy, this is a good-looking plan, but we don't like food. Yes. You know,
I see it all the time.
Right. Now, here's the question, Larkin.
The bankers are just nervous.
Let me ask you this. For bringing out that event, what would you say the biggest type of new business idea is coming up on the horizon?
I definitely see SCORE Philadelphia's database and our client base going back to the basics. A lot of daycare centers, and listen, anybody that doesn't think they can make money in a daycare center obviously hasn't taken a look at the business model very closely. I currently have 3 salons, and I'd actually quit everything I'm doing and take any one of them right now, because all three of them are doing relatively well. So we're back to services. We're back to basic services. And the product end of it, There are a lot of, you know, bakeries, restaurants.
They're all tight, more on a service base.
The lunch truck business is doing very well in Philadelphia, and the city of Philadelphia and CCP and its academic endeavors has recognized the fact that they're coming on.
Mark, strong. Have you seen any new businesses coming up where you'd have manufacturing as the main focus?
Not too many. Now, again, I work with a lot of new guys at the store. They get a new idea, inventors, entrepreneurs, like Larkin Meats, and I try to help them off the ground and tell them it's going to be the hardest thing you ever done, like Rich said. But, you're the only people that will work 120 hours, so you don't have to work a 40-hour week. That's basically what we do. But I haven't seen, not in Buffalo, not a lot of big manufacturers, but I work with one company that builds Apple presses, so we do all their welding for them. They've been doing real well, but they're reaching out. They're going actually more global, which is nice to see. Exporting more. A lot of companies, even the oil and mining companies, doing a lot overseas other than here, but that's okay. They're based here and they're building here and they're shipping out. That's what we want, exporting. So not right offhand, Mike, but there's always hope. I love to see the new entrepreneurs with the new product. Sometimes it's the simplest product, but you know what? You know, we give them exposure. They're selling a lot. They're already complaining and we can't keep up. That's great stuff, because then they got to hopefully get out of the garage eventually, hopefully get another employee, you know, but they start to help each other, and that's just neat to see the whole process.
Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but an hour has passed by very quickly. But I'm going to ask all of our listeners to do something special this weekend. Go out and support all of your businesses. And also, sit down and take a look at all of the links on AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Go to each one of the links. You have the American Made store. You have Mark's picture up there. You'll learn more about him. You have Made in the USA, Go for USA. You have AmeriLoop and so many other links up there. You also have on the very bottom of the page how to contact your elected official. Don't be afraid to contact them and let them know where you stand. It's more important than ever that they hear from the general public. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be looking forward to meeting you in our travels, and I will see all of you on Saturday morning right here on 860 AM for our Saturday variety program. Larkin, Mark, Rich, Steve, Henry, and all of you listening, thank you for being part of our broadcast today. We're looking forward to seeing you again next Wednesday. Until then, have a great one.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great week, guys.